So welcome everybody to our, what number is this? Number four, Linda's in my class, T-Touch for You, Inspired Self-Care. And boy, do we have something special for you with self-care today. Yeah, Linda and I are very excited. So Linda, do you want to say anything before we begin?
I would actually, you know, we have in our Tuesday classes so often we've been talking about the journey that we make when we wake up and just have this opportunity to spend time with our wonderful intestinal area. And I have been wanting us to really look at the pictures and really get a clear understanding from start to finish of that amazing part of us that, you know, most of us sort of avoid as a rule. And so Eleanor has found some, it's not too deep. We just want to have a sense of it so that we can work with it. And we're going to have some really, I think, an interesting time. You'll enjoy today working with this. And it's something that Eleanor specializes with, people who fly to her from various parts of the country to work with. And I want you to share some of those if possible, Eleanor, because it's brilliant. So let's see what you've put together for all of us. Hi, Denise. Good morning. Good evening.
So,
Catherine, hi.
Let's get started. Let me see. So when I am teaching this, when I've got the screen share up, can you see me on the side?
Yes.
Or you can see all of you on the side?
Yes.
Oh, fantastic. Okay, so I'm going to try to move. Let's see. Okay, so that's interesting. One sec. Let me just move this. Okay, so I'm going to go back. Okay, or I won't. And it won't let me. I can do this. One second. Oh, interesting. Okay. Well,
you don't see what we see. You know, when you're showing it and we're watching, the views are
so
different.
Can you see the PowerPoint?
I could
well,
before
not now.
With you. What? Not yeah. Now. No.
Now, okay,
but you will never see exactly what the viewers see.
Okay, can you see
it
now?
That's just how it works. No,
no
screen share. You're not screen shared.
Well, I did, and then I unscreen shared.
You took it down, right?
I did. Yes.
There you go. Now you're on.
Okay. So, welcome to Tea Touch for You, Inspired Self Care, and let's see if it will allow me to go to the next picture. Oh, well, that's an interesting way. Okay, so take a ride through your intestinal tract, what it does for you, and what you can do for it. So I'm going to explain to you. Can you see my cursor when I'm moving it around?
Yes.
Yeah. Okay.
So the tube, we're going today to talk about tube systems. Just the one long tube, and it starts at the mouth and ends at the anus. And if you can see, the mouth would be up here and it goes all the way down the tube till it goes past the stomach, and it goes into the small intestines that move around, bend all over, twist and turn until somewhere in the bottom right quadrant of your body, it meets the beginning of the large intestine, and it goes up, across with a big swoop, down back behind you, down your left side, and back and down. Now, you'll really rarely ever find an accurate, pretty picture. Or even if you're looking at a cadaver. And the reason why is because we're all a little different. Now, as beautiful as this picture is, It's not quite accurate, and I'll explain to you why. And it's important for you to know this. When the colon comes up, it doesn't just go across. It usually swoops way down. And I'm going to back up for a moment and talk to you a little bit why when we get to this, as we talk now about the small intestines. So this tube system is all about adding length. The longer it is, the more time you have for digestion, absorption of nutrients, vitamins and minerals, and absorbing water into the body and from the body into the stool and sucking it out so that it becomes firm and solid, but not too solid, not too hard, and comes out just right. So the way they add, nature has added more length to it. It's not as perfectly pretty as this because the transverse colon, the colon that comes across, it really swoops down quite a bit. And it doesn't just come straight down the left side. It tucks up behind your left rib, all the way behind your left rib, goes behind your pancreas and behind your spleen. It goes down the backside, moves to the front, and then gets down to the bottom left quadrant. But if that's not enough, it's going to add some more length by going up. You see how this made it go down? Mm-mm. It goes up to the belly button area. And then from the belly button area, it becomes the rectum and goes down. And that's about 7 inches long. And so the reason for this, how many of you heard about the squatty potty? Huh? Yeah. And they always say, you know, when people pooped in the rice fields, they would squat. When that was the whole idea of the squatty potty. And then when we started to sit on toilets, and Moshe Feldenkrais talked about this a lot too, when we would sit on toilets, that's when we started to become constipated. And also because we were eating a lot of white food. But the other problem is my big bugaboo is senior living facilities brag about how they have even higher toilets so that it's easier for elderly people to sit on and get off of. And I'm like, oh no, that's a disaster. Because what happens, the higher up you sit, the more this colon can't straighten out. So this is the end look. What it normally is bent up. And that is a good thing. Why? Because you can say to yourself, oh, I think I have to go poop. And then you hold the poop in until you get to a toilet. If it were straight like this, you could say something like this. Oh, I think I have to poop. Oh, never mind. I just did. Because there was no place to hold it in. So that bend up is the, I think I have to poop and I can wait until I get to a toilet. Then when you use a thing like a squatty potty or a lower toilet, that squatting straightens that bend out, straightens out the colon straight to the rectum, and that allows the poop to come out the descending colon and evacuate the whole part of the descending colon, and you have a good poop. And anyone that has a good poop, you know, it's my favorite subject in the world. When you have a good poop, you have a good day. And when you have a good day, you have a clear mind. Because ask anyone that has poop issues like IBS, irritable bowel syndrome, irritable bowel disease, colitis, all of that. When the poop isn't getting out or it's coming out too fast, but if it's not getting out, they feel foggy headed. And that goes back to our talk about the vagal nerve branches, because when the colon is hunkered like this with so much poop inside, it's actually expanding and expanding and expanding because it's filling with hard poop. And the problem is now it loses the motility of the poop to come out. And then what happens is the vagal nerve doesn't get the feedback. So that vagal nerve isn't sending good feedback up to the brain. It's as simple as that. So just know it's a beautiful picture. However, it could use a little Eleanorizing to it. So what would I do? I would swoop this colon down and I would definitely bend this up towards midline. You like that one, Linda?
I love it a lot, but Valentina just wrote in the chat that's from that comes the expression something shit for brains. Is that Valentina? Yes. Related. Huh.
I it's interesting. I'm always trying to think about things like that. That one never occurred to me. I'm like,
I never heard it.
Yeah.
Thank you, Valentina.
Okay. So let's see if I can get to the next one. Okay. Now, let me see if I can go back. Oh, I can't. No, 1 second. Hold on. Let me go back. Okay. For some reason, I'm having a little problem with the moving forward and back. Okay. There are three main functions for the gastrointestinal tract, and that includes transportation. That means getting the product from A to B. It's also for digestion, digesting the food, and then absorbing the food. And what I mean by absorbing the food, I mean absorbing the nutrients and minerals and vitamins and all that goes with it. Very important. So, what does that take? It takes having a long, it takes having length. So, but the more length in a certain amount that you have, the more time it can absorb. There is a difference between the length of the intestines and colon of a dog and a human being. A dog, we can give them raw meaty bones, good fresh raw chicken, raw, because the length of their intestines isn't very long. They eat breakfast, they go out and they poop. They eat dinner, they go out and poop. It would be unfair to feed an animal and make him stay inside because that's how fast their tract moves things through. And so in that short length, there isn't enough time for E. coli and other foodborne illnesses to grow. Those bacteria will grow and ferment even longer the longer the intestines are. So now, if you give them something rancid, then short intestines are still going to get infected. But for us, that's why if we eat something even a little bit tainted, because of the length of our intestines, that's a good thing for us. It takes maybe 3 days for the food to go through, and it takes 3 days for the E. coli to become the issue that gives us food poisoning. Does that make sense? So now the upside to having the length, we were given the length for a very good reason. We can absorb every last, it's like taking a wet rag and wringing out every last bit of water before we shake it and hang it to dry. We can absorb every last bit of water, every last bit of vitamin, every last bit of mineral, every last nutrient to make our B vitamins, our neurotransmitters, our feel-good hormones, to work our cleanup pathways that clean up our genetics and our DNA and keep us to make other good products and clean out products, everything. So that length is a good thing. On occasion, somebody has too long, but I'm just talking about your normal average. So the small intestines in an adult is 20 feet long and only 1 inch wide. The large intestine, meaning that ascending, transverse, and descending colon, is about 5 feet long and 3 inches wide. And the total length of the small and large intestine could be 2 to 6 feet, not 26 miles, because some people say 26 miles, or length of a football field. But wonder when they start saying it's that long, it gets me wondering. And I'm like, aha, because this is what they're talking about. If it's not enough to add length for absorption, we're going to find another way to add absorption in the lining of the intestines. In the lining of the intestines, we have little villi, little finger-like projections. like this, little finger-like projections in the lining of the intestines. So let's say all of this is the lining of the intestine. It has these little finger-like projections that are junctioned. They're very close together. And each one of these adds more surface area for absorbing water, vitamins, minerals, all the good things that you eat. But if that's not enough for absorption, each one of those villi have microvilli, little tiny, tiny, tiny microvilli that stick out from those villi within the lining of the intestines. And each one of those adds more room for absorption of all those nutrients. And that's the thing that I like. We're repetitive. And because can you imagine if we didn't have the microvilli and we didn't have the villi, our intestines would be big enough that we'd have to carry luggage on the side too. A luggage here and a luggage here along with it, what's inside the belly. So the reason that we can have just enough to stay within our skin of our cavity, we can add surface area by adding all these little extras on the villi and on the microvilli. And this is where I get excited. Can you tell I get so excited? Because I'm going to talk to you about epithelial cells. How many people in here
Eleanor,
have...
could you just go back to that slide? Because you had a big comment highlighted that I think you didn't address.
Okay.
I wondered about it.
I have talked about
26 miles compared to 2 feet.
Yeah, that's what I said. I did say that.
Ah, I didn't understand it. I'm sorry.
That's okay. No worries. Let me see if I can.
Well, maybe just explain it without the picture.
Oh, good. Because I can't seem to get back to it.
Yeah.
Some people say that the intestines are 26 miles, but they're not. They're 2 to 6 miles. But if they say it's 26 miles, it makes me wonder. And I went, oh, they're talking about surface area. So the surface area is talking about not just all the intestines. It's talking about in the epithelial cells, the lining of the intestines are the finger-like projections called villi. And on each villi are microvilli. So I believe when they're talking about that long, I think what they're talking about is all that surface area. And
so
when it comes to-
or feet?
Pardon me?
Miles or feet?
I mean, some people call it miles. I don't care because I honestly didn't even bother to look because I'm not a person on numbers. It's people get excited about numbers and it sticks for them. I don't. I get excited just about what it is. Does that make sense?
Eleanor, if I may interject here, in one of the books that I was quoting to you, it's on my iPad, so I can't find it easily. And I can't remember which of all the books I'm reading this is in, is when you would flatten this out, all these beautiful little villi and all their friends, you know, all the parts of it, that would cover a football field, not the length of it. It would cover a football field. So it's not, I think you just said, some people say 26 feet, they're just misquoting. I mean, that's-
No. I found that everywhere, Linda. I did.
Really?
I found it everywhere. I mean,
oh, no,
I actually
said 26 miles too.
Miles. I mean, you can actually go look on Wikipedia and that quote, I didn't write that. That's a quote from Wikipedia that they'll say 26 miles and they're like, no, it's 2 to 6 miles, not 26 miles. So then I'm thinking
you just said 2 to 6 miles. You mean 2 to 6 feet.
Let me go back. Oh, I can't. One sec. Hold on. Let me go back.
Sorry. I think it's worthwhile just looking at this because this is such an important part on it. And this is why I really wanted us to, you know, consider it. And to me, what I want to put in, well, Eleanor, is what a creation. I mean, let's just celebrate this creative, amazing beings that we are. This divine spark in every cell in our body. that gives us this vessel for our soul. This is so incredible. And I love what we're doing each Saturday is taking one part like we did, the pancreas, the thyroid, all these different parts that we've done. And this is such a kind of mystery to most people who often, you know, our tendency is to avoid that because we don't necessarily like the way it looks on the outside. And so it's so beautiful for us together to celebrate this. And then we're going to find ways. Eleanor has ways of working with this, and I have other ways that we're going to share lots of possibilities for you.
Absolutely. So this that's highlighted in white was a quote that I pulled from Wikipedia. I should have put Wikipedia right next to it. I apologize. That the total length of the small and large intestine could be 2 to 6 feet, not 26 miles. That's the quote from them. So it's not my personal quote. It's not my personal observation. It was just what I was pulling up. And by the way, I don't get excited about, again, how many miles it could be. In my mind, I'll go, I know they call it really, really long, you know, because I love anatomy. So I'm just seeing, I'm looking at the function of it, but, for those who want to see the numbers, that's why I did the thing in there. But that I am in awe of when Linda read in the book by a well-known doctor and specialist, I think in gastroenterology, if I recall, when he was talking, it's the whole football field, not the length of a football field. Although other people say, oh, my nerve, it's as long as a football field. When in that quote in his book, he's talking when you open up all the surface area of the intestine and the villi and the microvilli, that you open, if you could, it would be the whole rectangle of a football field, which is like pretty cool. Now, I don't know that to be true, but I have to believe if that's what his specialty is.
And let's celebrate that. And just think about that miracle that is just put together in these amazing bits inside us. That's what I wanted us to bring to this logical side. And Maggie, this, I know you love the logic as I do too. And then we're going to get to the feeling after a bit.
Yes, I promise you. I promise you. So the reason I'm going to talk to you about epithelial cells is they are in the intestines. And does anyone else know where they are? They're on your skin everywhere. They're on your skin everywhere. And we'll talk about what they do and why they're important. So the lining, epithelial cells are in the lining of the intestines. And I'm going to stop screen sharing just so I can see you guys for a moment. Okay. Hold on, gallery view. Okay. So when we look back at embryology, the beginning of the zygote, the beginning, we start off as three types of cells. We do an ecto, a meso, and an endo. And all three of them theoretically become a epidermis, an epithelial cell. But there's three types of epithelial cells, which is really cool. So one of those goes on to create the whole tube system. One of them goes on to create the hollow organs, meaning the liver, your pancreas, your gallbladder, your heart, your lungs. Another one goes to create skin, right? That's the ectoderm. The ecto means outside. So the ectoderm creates the outside of everything about you. And the mesoderm creates kind of the inside of everything. And the endoderm is way inside. It's that simple. So, and then they become all those specialized things. But here's the thing. We know in the world that nothing is separate and everything is connected to the wholeness. Yeah, thank you, Valentina. Everything, well, and that would be even Chinese medicine. That would be acupuncture. We understand everything is connected to the wholeness. So we can't separate out. Well, because that's an ectoderm and that's a mesoderm and that's an endoderm, they're three neighbors who never talk. No. They just have to specialize in stuff. Like you have friends and some of your friends are really good at being super organized. And then the other friend is really good at being artistic and creative and they cook and they garden, but they're really bad at being organized. And nobody criticizes everybody because what you do is you create a fantastic relationship that supports each other, that the organized person can sort of help the person that's not so organized, but they're really good at the artistic part. And we need that. Like Linda talks about, we connect the right side of the brain and the left side of the brain. We appreciate both sides and we appreciate the functioning of the whole brain. And we appreciate the highway of connections that connect both halves. But I have news for you. I have worked with people who have had a complete hemispherectomy and they were so whole-brained. You can't believe it. They were so whole-brained. So we cannot separate anything out. Everything is connected. It is energetically, cellular, embryologic. It's all connected. It's just we got to have some things do a job and some things do another job. Does that make sense? So I get excited about epithelial cells because the epithelial cells in the lining of the intestines are about secreting mucus that is protective. If there's an infection, we need that because if it's secreting mucus to protect the lining, it's going to protect the microvilli and the villi and their nice tight junctions. Does that make sense? They also secrete hormones that break down food, they secrete enzymes. We need those epithelial cells in there. So before I get too sidetracked, because I could get sidetracked into that part for an hour, and I promise I won't, Linda. Look at me, I'm pretty good at this, huh? That I stop myself here. Okay, so now what do? They secrete mucus, hormones, they secrete protective enzymes, digestive enzymes. They secrete all kinds of good things. They do good things for you. Nothing just does one thing. And that's why they're important. They're in the lining of the intestines. Now, if a person has leaky gut, and leaky gut is the description of the villi, every so often a villi is missing because it got offended, by something that injures it. I don't mean emotionally offended. And it's missing some. And so now whatever's in the intestines can leak through because those junctions are not really tight and these villi and microvilli can't absorb. Now that liquid and that stuff has to go somewhere. And if every so often some are missing, there's spaces in between. And that breaks the junction of the lining of the intestines. So what's in the lining of what's in your intestines will leak through and go into the bloodstream, of which, by the way, the microvilli and the villi and the microvilli have blood vessels, which means that's why what gets absorbed into those villi and microvilli, that's why you want them there so much, is all that goodness gets absorbed directly into the bloodstream in those villi. So if they're missing, they can't get absorbed in. We can't get the nutrients so well, with the happy neurotransmitters and all of that. Okay. And make the B vitamins to help our brain work well and our body do its job. And if that stuff is going directly into the body, the body is going to mount an immune response. Well, what is the definition of Hashimoto's thyroiditis? It's the ultimate of an immune response. The knights on white horses come charging in because it doesn't recognize a Big Mac floating in your bloodstream. And it says, out, out. And the thing is, if the knights on white horses keep charging and keep charging and keep charging, they're also going to finally attack stuff that we need. For instance, the thyroid. And the nutrients that needed to go into those villi and microvilli don't get to make the fantastic vitamin nutrients that go to the thyroid. So the thyroid is can become weakened because it's not getting the proper nutrients it needs. And now there's a high immune response, and the person may show high white blood cells, not high white blood cells. They'll show inflammation, not show inflammation. But this is a big deal because I think this is why so many people have Hashimoto's. And I think that this is why the treatment for just increasing thyroid hormone isn't the only answer, because if they're still having leaky gut, they can still have a problem.
So, Eleanor, I would like to just interject here because it's so much really incredible information. And I would like to give you an example of this because, as you know, and many of you knew, when I fell by the pool last year, I had the feeling when I fell smack flat on my sacrum. And with my arms flung out on the cement. And I had a feeling that something popped, and it wasn't my vertebrae. They were fine. But I blew up like I was like 8 months pregnant. And it stayed this way. And I have, you know, really, really good naturopathic doctors and integrative doctors, personal friends who are really working with me with the thyroid, which I couldn't take the pig stuff, which my my latest really wonderful integrative doctor got me on the natural, little bit of the natural stuff, because they said it wasn't the thyroid, it's something else. And I never could get to the inflammation. So finally, I'm saying, I know something's wrong with my gut, and nobody was treating leaky gut, which is what I wanted. So finally in Florida at the beginning of the month, I went into another health center and I said, what can you give me for leaky gut? I don't care about all the rest of the stuff. It's being handled, you know, with all these supportive supplements, no medication. And she gave me this product with all these wonderful herbs in it. And I'm telling you, it was like suddenly night and day. Within 2 days, my belly started to go down. And in this 1 month, I've lost 10 pounds. I got suddenly, my body didn't want the chocolate bar that I was eating like twice a week. Really good chocolate, you understand. But I didn't want it. And I've just been doing fruits and vegetables without even trying. And I ran out of it. And so I just went to the health food store and I just got something. What's your best stuff you got for the GI tract? And they gave it to me and it blew my guts out. It was really bad. So I think it was too much for my body. And so I'm waiting for this other stuff with a lot of herbs in it to come.
So,
but in the meantime, my body knows what to do.
Did you throw away the container, or do you have it, Linda, so you can share?
No, of course. Well, I did. Okay. And I shared it before, the ingredients. No, I would.
Right. So Linda and I looked at it and literally it had all the ingredients for healing the lining of the gut, right? It had L-glutamine, marshmallow root, slippery elm, and it had other nutrients and vitamins and minerals in it. And I looked at it when she had shown it to me, and I'm like, oh my God, that's an excellent product. And it's interesting, the other product, I assumed when it blew her guts out, I assumed it must have had, you know, something that is designed to cause you to evacuate. And it didn't. So it just goes to show not all products are equal. And this, the first one, worked so well for her. But it is about the healing, the lining of the gut. And I wouldn't doubt when you fell, if that pop that you heard was
felt.
Oh, felt. Okay. Sorry. Yeah. Felt that it was somehow it, you know, we all have adhesions in our abdomen. We just do. We have adhesions everywhere. They, you know, but sometimes they become a problem. And so we have adhesions because we have a habit of walking a certain way, or we've had an injury a certain way, or we even had food poisoning. It can come from food poisoning. And if Linda reminds me, I'll give you an example of someone that I'm working with now. But so adhesions can happen. But the thing is, such a severe fall can cause an adhesion to tear. Sure, right? Deep therapy is about tearing them too, right? But it's violent in that fall and maybe pull and tear. And that could be enough that if it was on the intestine, was enough to pull it loose a little bit so that leaking happened. And so because it was instant for you.
Yeah, it was instant. And that's it's almost a year ago now. And I mean, and three really good integrative and naturopathic doctors worked with me with the blood tests and all of the tests and all the stuff. And I kept saying, I'm sure it's leaky gut. And nobody addressed it until at the beginning of this month.
I think you also got, at one point, one of the integrative specialists said that you needed some support with your thyroid. Now, mind you,
Right.
And maybe most of us at a certain age need support with it too. But if there's leaky gut, it can affect the thyroid.
Of course. And the thing is, and that's what the latest, I go to this, it's a system where you pay $145 a month and you can go as much as you want. And it's a couple. And the wife is a naturopathic doctor, and the husband is a very curious integrative MD. And he gave me an hour and a half. It's been an hour and a half with me, with my meeting with him. And he said, I don't think it's your thyroid, because it's just on the low end. I'm sorry to go into personal details, but I think it might maybe give some of you some ideas, I hope. He said, it's just on the low end of normal, because I had tried the natural stuff, which seemed like a logical thing to do because I have, you know, quote, autoimmune disease of the thyroid. So he said, but I don't think it's that at all, but I think you didn't get along well with the pig stuff, because it made me really, I tried it 3 days and that was not my thing. But I think maybe just a little, like a quarter of a dose of something of the man-made stuff, and it really worked, and I'll get it checked in every 2 months.
Linda, if you can share the name of the product, because people are asking.
Well, yes, and you can order it. I called them to see where I could get it, because I can't order it. Florida can't ship out of Florida. And they said, oh, you can order it online. So I'm going to give that to you. These guys are going to say goodbye for the moment.
So I'm going to remove the pin, and I'm going to go back while you're getting it. I'm going to go back to screen share.
Eleanor, can I ask a question about a leaky gut question?
Wait, no, not yet, because I want to stay in the presentation. Yeah. Don't mind.
Eleanor, let's come to this after we know about it. Let's come back to this after. I just wanted to give us a chance to integrate also some of that we were getting, because it's so rich and very specifically directed.
Okay, so so you can see my excitement about talking about that when these epithelial cells are offended, when they're injured by some mechanical or chemical way, the absorption doesn't happen as well. All that extra surface area is not getting utilized the way it needs to be. And then we can have an immune mounted response. And the, just as an example, the thyroid is often involved in an immune mounted response. So when we can take care of the immune mounted response and tell the knights on white horses, the war is over, you can go back, you know, the and then we add the L-glutamine and the slippery elm and all that good stuff back in there, and the lining can be healed, and the sergeant general goes, okay, we're good, I'll only send them out on urgent matters, and then our other organs don't get attacked. You see what I'm saying? So okay, now this is why I believe that the gut and the thyroid are so intrinsically connected. Did it come from the thyroid first, or did it come from the intestines? That is the question. I feel like Shakespeare. Or it could be environmental, meaning what's happening to the lining of the intestines, the epithelial cells. Environmental, meaning chemical, pesticide, smog, heavy metals in the air, all of that. Food, meaning Big Mac. I'm sorry, I have friends that own McDonald's. So we'll just call lots of fast food nation, chemicals in the environment, you know, all those heavy duty cleaning chemicals in the house, in your sheets, in your towels, in your clothing, in your makeup, in your, you know, clean it up a little bit. Viruses, oh yes. We can catch a virus just like that. And viruses can cause leaky gut because they embed. They find a great place to nestle in the blankets of your intestines. And then also, who else loves to nestle in there? Parasites. And these, all of these things can affect it. And there are doctors that have all these amazing ways to check your body in one test, for looking for environmental food, chemical viruses, and parasites to look at, and whether you need to clean them up and how to go about cleaning up. There's specialists out there for it. And by the way, this isn't just for us as humans, it's for all of our mammalian friends. So our dogs, our cats can have the same leaky gut issues. I had a dog that had that, and everyone just said, oh no, she's allergic to chicken. And I'm like, yeah, I don't think so. And because I make really clean food, and it ended up, it was something else that just set everything off, right? And so anyway, and then with cats, you know how often cats get diagnosed with hyperthyroidism as they get older? Well, they're finding out, they think some of it is associated with viruses or parasites. And if they annually give a parasite cleanser to a cat and a dog, those animals end up most frequently not ending up with a thyroid issue as they age. So that's just interesting FYI by the side. I am not a specialist. Let's talk about some tea touching. Remember, we promised you, what can you do? So we're going to talk, Linda and I will talk today about the banana slug, the clouded leopard, the chimp, and the bear or laser. So here is the banana slug. So the banana slug, and Linda, you can talk about the banana slug, and then I'll talk a little bit about how I use the banana slug helping people.
So it's the soft side of your hand when you curve your little finger, so that I can, if somebody, like sometimes it's too direct to use your fingertips, it's way too much, it's too threatening. Or the way the banana slug came to life was during a training for companion animals at the Humane Society in Oregon. Somebody in the class said, you know, I can't do this movement that we call the clouded leopard. And Sage, I'm sorry, I forget the name of your friend, but you can explain to her. So it's just that we give animal names to different parts of our hand. So when we're teaching or speaking or sharing, you can see, oh yeah, that's the part of the hand I used the first like two thirds of the contact with this first section of my fingers. So sometimes that's too direct. And so but in her case, she said, I can't make this circular touch because my joints hurt from all the work I'm doing on the computer. So I said, oh, well, how would it be? And this just came to me intuitively. I mean, you know, out of the blue, so to speak, or out of the quantum field, which is now what we understand out of the blue. So I just said, how would it be if you just use the side and try this on your own hand and watch when your fingers are curved, watch how that you can see the really soft movement in here. It's a very soft connection, which Eleanor is going to explain so beautifully how she's used. Now, try this, try it yourself, straighten your finger. And now you see this is much harder, but as soon as you soften it, you roll around it. So, and I'll remind you again, and when you're teaching this to someone else, remember, it's not making a circle on the skin, it's rolling around that part. So you feel this 1 1/4 circle, which is our amazing golden spiral in all of nature. So that's how the banana slug, just came to me. And Eleanor is going to talk about how she actually uses it with some very special clients.
Okay, so how I use the banana slug is, let's see if you can see me. One sec. Okay, so
we'll put you on speaker.
Or pin, or I don't know how they do that. But okay, so when I use the banana slug on the organs, I actually use it extended, right? I use all of this to make the contact. And there are people that there's a lot of people that have pain in the lower left quadrant or the lower right quadrant. And it's like a sharp kind of stabbing, a little bit pain, but dull. No, not sharp. It's a dull stabbing kind of pain. It's, I don't know, or sharp. Does anybody know what I'm talking about? Have you ever had a pain in the lower, one of the lower quadrants? Okay, good. Not good, but okay. Well, you know
it's
what
like, you mean it's like an acute pain. It just suddenly hits you.
Yeah. And it becomes, right. And people come to me when I teach my classes and they'll go, you know, I don't know what that is. It's a bugaboo. It just comes and goes and comes and goes. And like, I don't know what that is. And, you know, it feels muscular and maybe not muscular and I'm like, okay, when it's on the left side, do you find it's before you even notice if you have to poop? And they're like, yeah. And I go, do you notice when you poop, it's not there? Yeah. And I go, oh, interesting. So then I'll ask, well, if it's on the right, so I'm just, you know, my mother used to call me the inspector. So I'm just asking questions, gathering more questions and more answers. So this is where the banana slug is so amazing for that discomfort. So we go down and I apologize that I'm cutting my head off. Can I show you? Is it okay?
Yes, show.
Okay. So I'm taking the extended banana slug and I'm going to that lower quadrant. And if you feel your hip, right, your pelvic crest is right along there. And in the shell of the pelvic crest is like muscles that get tight in there. And that's when we can take the banana slug and follow it along the bone along here of the pelvis. The pelvis is this beautiful butterfly shaped bony structure that curves forward. So we're going to follow it, ironically,
so
the banana slug along the curve that looks like a banana slug.
So Eleanor, if I can just say a little thing. So we didn't have many birds in our collection of animals we're honoring. And so when, in order to get the softness of this banana slug, you curve it, and that little curve part, and I keep watching you, you're really using that curve part. That's the hummingbird. And so it's, that's, and I saw you, what you did, you went in first, you just felt around, and then felt with your fingertips, because I love feeling the inside of my, of that pelvic cradle. It's just like, I love that feeling of that. So you were kind of switching around between connecting, and then you bring your hummingbird, and then you soften it with the banana slug. And so you don't have to remember these names, but when you do honor that being that we're using their name and their image, this is dealing with what's now considered the nature deficit syndrome. And so those of us who have dogs and cats, we have a connection to nature to get out with our dogs rather, or horses. But every time you honor and bring that little, that being in, that little hummingbird, and you, the beauty of this hummingbird. So you connect that beauty as you're doing so beautifully, Eleanor, and just reaching in with a bear touch, actually, just very gently, and then switching around different parts of your hand. So we're honoring that, our connection to our other beings on the planet when we absolutely give them these names.
Thank you, Linda. I'm so appreciative that you continue to remind us that we are using these names because we are honoring our nature around us, that we are so connected with. And we bring that into us, and that helps in our healing because we know we're not alone. Wherever we are, we're not alone. We're together with, whether you open a window and you just breathe in the air and the sun and the sky. We really live a life of freedom. And then we add this touch to us with the using the names of the animals, that we remember that there are animals in nature wherever we live, even in the middle of a desert. It's just in the daytime in the desert, this is my zoologist coming up, they live underground. And then they come out, right? The chipmunk in the hot weather, underground. Why is the bottom of his tail white? To reflect the sun. And he drapes it over his body all the way to his head. Nature is all around us wherever we are. Just don't use pesticides. Okay. Next. So here, this is what I love on myself. Now, Linda talks about how we do the circle and a quarter, right? So we're going circle and a quarter. What I add in for my clients, and I should see my head, but I'm sorry, I'm just using my laptop screen, is I also rock my pelvis a circle and a quarter. So I rock my pelvis around and I'll keep my hands still. And I rock my pelvis around it, a circle and a quarter, and then my breath happens.
And try it. Follow Eleanor as she's doing this, because it's really fun to do this.
Yes, yes, yes. Thank you, Linda. Oh, please do. You don't need to write notes. You need the experience. When you have the experience, you'll likely remember it better. And I apologize that my head is coming up off the screen so you can see me. So let's start with taking the hands, and we use a little bit of the clouded leopard or the bear. And we're just touching with the pads of our fingers and just welcoming, noticing the area of the iliac crest. The iliac crest is that part of the edge of the butterfly bony structure of the pelvis. Find that little bit of the inner lining with not going too deep. You just find where the crest comes in. because it's
and it's easier. It's easier when you're lying down than this. So, but yeah, celebrate it.
Yeah. Well, and so I like doing it when I'm sitting. You know, that's because I spend so much time sitting. And so I get to work on myself a little bit. So now I take in the banana slug and the hummingbird, and I bring them into my touch. And I follow all along there, and I move them in a circle and a quarter. And take your time, go slow. And remember that you got the clock on you. 12 o'clock is above, 6 o'clock is below. And you decide which way feels better to go clockwise or counterclockwise, starting at six, going all the way around a full circle back to six, and then back up to nine, and then glide it down. And notice how easy it is to take a breath in, following it all along the inside edge, the medial edge of that crest of the bone.
And if you get tired, Eleanor, which some may do, get tired with your arm in this position, just imagine it a little bit and give your arm a break.
It's very true. You're right. It's so easy for the arms and the neck to become tired doing this, because all you need to do is two or three. All you need to do is two or three of those touches. And then you can go back, rest for a moment. Just let yourself sit and rest. Take in a breath through your nose. Fill up those nitric oxide receptor sites. And let it out through pursed lips with that nice, happy grin on your face, the lightness in your face. Softness in your jaw, and bring in your banana slug and your clouded leopard, and this time rest them along the inside of that iliac crest, that butterfly edge shape of the bony structure. See how we brought in an animal, a nature, and now move your pelvis around the hand a circle and a quarter. And you bring in the breath. And now move it up or down. You'll find the area where it catches and it asks you, it beckons you to touch it there, and maybe kind of make a connection in at a level three. Out of a 1 to 10, maybe go in at about a 3. Go that little pressure in, move your pelvis around the clock as you take in a breath, all the way a circle and a quarter, and then let the hand lift it up as you finish. And And now let your arms rest. And notice how you feel now. Is there something different on that side? Maybe it's more awake, or it's quieter, it's fuller. There's a color, softer and warmer. And I believe that when we use these touches, we can make such a difference in the quality, because when we can help with those pulls, little adhesions, all of that, we can help soften those, because I think when it comes to those, the medical community doesn't necessarily understand that that could be associated with something that is a discomfort down there. And we can use these touches to make all the difference in what we talked about a couple of classes ago about melting the connection of those collagen fibers, those carbon to carbon and hydrogen on the carbons, to just unlink through what we call the unreasonable effectiveness of light touch. And as we bring in Tellington Tea Touch, the nature around us, we have a source of connection that is much better than just us trying to figure it out alone. And so I will go, and so on and so forth, that we go to the, hold on, to the next one.
Eleanor.
Yes, Linda.
May I make a suggestion? It's the hour now. How about if we take a 10-minute break? Because this
We already talked about clouded leopard. Do you see what I'm saying? Right. So I think I feel good. Now, when we come to yours, we'll take the break now, and then we'll come back to chimp and bear, if you'd like. But is that okay?
Yeah, absolutely.
So, and how long did you want to make the break?
10 minutes. It's 3 minutes after. So at 13 after, we'll start the recording again, and I will end it now. Take a little water, stand up, stretch. Yes.